Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. At the end of our driveway, just to the left of our mailbox, stood a tree. It was at least 30 feet tall, and in the summer, it provided some much welcome shade for our front yard. But you know, this was an ash tree, and ash trees are susceptible to the emerald ash borer bug that chews through the bark, lays its eggs between the bark and the wood, and as the larvae grow, they separate the bark from the tree and cause the ash trees to die. And our tree was dead. No longer gave shade, and the longer the dried up branches hung on the tree, the likelihood of branches falling off grew. The tree had to come down, and so the axe was laid to the root of the tree. It was chopped up and it was corded for firewood. All that was left of that tree was a barren stump. Now, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the scriptures, we hear something about trees and stumps. Now, sometimes trees and stumps are just that. They're trees and stumps. Like the cedars of Lebanon that were tall like the redwoods. But other times, the trees and the stumps, they were used to draw a comparison, particularly between kings and kingdoms. So therefore, a height or strength of a cedar of Lebanon could be used to imply the greatness of the king or the power of the kingdom. And in fact, in our readings for today, you heard the phrase, the root or the stump of Jesse, and all three of them. So now you should probably be asking yourself a few questions. The first is, well, who is Jesse? The second is, if the scriptures are talking about a stump or a root, well, then what happened to the tree? And if you ask that last question, you're really asking, what has happened to Jesse's kingdom that it was cut down to only a stump? Well, let's go back a little bit. It was in the days after the Israelites had come into the land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The people of God had their priests who ministered in the tabernacle, and the judges who settled disputes among the people, and at times even led the people into battle against the kings of the people who were still in the land. Well, over time, the Israelites saw what was around them, and they wanted a king like the other nations. They wanted someone who was big and strong, who would look to for protection and leadership. And so the Lord gave them Saul, son of Kish, a Benjamite, meaning that he was a true descendant of Israel. He was a mighty oak of a man among men who were mere saplings. He was physically a head taller than the rest. And this man was anointed by Samuel the priest to be king, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Surely this strong, strapping man would become a king among men, but no. Pride and disregard for God left him dry and rotten on the inside until the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and Saul was uprooted. Well, a new king was chosen by God, anointed by Samuel from the family of Jesse in Bethlehem. Now, Jesse was of the lineage and line of Ruth and Boaz. And Ruth, you might remember, was a Moabite. And the Moabites were Gentiles. So God chose Jesse, who had Gentile ancestry, and from Jesse's family, he anoints the next king of Israel. But not only did God choose someone of questionable lineage, he didn't choose the oldest, the tallest, or the strongest of Jesse's sons. He chose the smallest and the least of them. And so God chose David, a shepherd boy, a mere sapling of the wrong family tree, to be the next king of Israel. Now, from our perspective, this is an odd choice, but not from God's. God chooses the least, the smallest, the weakest. God chooses the humble to bring down the proud. As Samuel anointed David, the Spirit of the Lord remained upon him to lead God's people. Not like a mighty oak of Saul, but a fruitful vine was David and his kingdom. And both grew and flourished under the Lord's blessing. David first, and then Solomon, his son. The fruit of the Lord's blessing was for them and for the people who came to worship in Jerusalem, no longer in a tabernacle, but in the temple. But look, after Solomon, and even during his time, the vine became sick. For its roots drank from the worship of false gods. And the Spirit of the Lord did not remain with the kings. The fruit of the people became bitter. Anger and jealousy, injustice, immorality. The love for their neighbors grew cold. They began to call what the Lord called evil, good. And they called what the Lord called good, evil. To the kings and the people under their rule, the Lord sent prophets. The prophets warned both king and people the danger of drinking from the bitter stream of idolatry and pride and implored them to drink again from the living word and the living water of God. But they refused. And after generations of the Lord's patience, the dried up vine of Israel was cut down to a stump and burned. Its kings were killed and the people were exiled. Where once there had been a fruitful vine or a mighty tree, now there was only a barren stump. Isaiah was one of those prophets who warned the kings and the people. He told them in great detail what the chopping down of the kingdom would entail. He called them to repent and to live in faith, to turn from false worship and trust in the Lord who would rule and reign his people with justice and mercy. And from this message, there sprang hope. Isaiah proclaimed, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots that shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips. He shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins." From the time of Isaiah, the people of God waited. They waited for generations in the hope that the shoot would spring up from the stump of Jesse. They waited for God to keep his promises to David, that one of his descendants would sit on the throne forever. And so they waited, and they lived in hope. And the faithful, they died waiting in hope. They waited until John the Baptist, the last prophet of the Lord, stood on the banks of the Jordan River and proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The axe is at the root of the tree. You all, stop trusting in your lineage. Stop trusting in what you do. Stop the false worship and the false humility. Stop drinking from the poison water of pride, self-deception, and sin that leads to death. Instead, look. Here's a tender shoot from the stump of Jesse. Not more than 30 years old by human reckoning, but ancient and ageless according to God. It is Jesus of Nazareth. Look, there is the descendant of David. Trust in him. Kind of an unlikely message, for who is this Jesus anyway? He wasn't all that impressive. Like David before, he was the least, the smallest, humble. His earthly family tree was not spectacular nor spotless. His hometown was of no place significant. Those who would follow after him were a ragtag group of fishermen and tax collectors and people of questionable backgrounds. The rich looked at him and they dismissed him. The spiritual leaders deemed him unorthodox or worse, a blasphemer deserving of death. Jesus was like a mustard seed, small and unimportant. He came to John to be baptized in the Jordan, and there he was anointed. The Spirit of the Lord descended upon Jesus, never to depart. Isaiah's prophecy, now in Jesus' baptism, has been fulfilled. In that moment, God's choice of Jesus to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was revealed. And from that point on, and in the midst of his humility, Jesus began to do great and mighty things. He went into the wilderness for us. He came out and healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. The fruit of his labor was always righteous and for the good of others. All that he said and all that he had done expressed God's perfect love for his people. That love led this king, this shoot of the stump of Jesse, to hang on another tree. On the tree of the cross and in the sight of all, this tender shoot was cut down. He was pruned by the master of the vine. He was buried in the ground like a mustard seed and was left there. The king of the Jews was dead. He suffered the burning fire. And it seemed on Friday that all hope was lost. Well, the shoot was cut down and the seed was buried, but look, out of death rises life. Out of the stump, a new shoot. Jesus is the first fruit of all those who have died. The mustard seed that was planted in the tomb rose up to be a mighty tree, providing all the birds under heaven a place of rest. The faithful vine grew and grew, and people of all nations have been grafted into him. The Spirit of the Lord has come to do this work through those who have proclaimed Christ's kingdom in the past and even right now in your presence. The Spirit of the Lord is at work to turn your hearts and minds to trust in Christ the King, rather than trust in yourself for salvation. The Spirit of the Lord is grafting dry and lifeless branches into Christ the vine through the waters of holy baptism so that you may live. The Spirit of the Lord leads you to the altar where in faith you eat and you drink of the fruits of righteousness. By the Spirit of the Lord, you abide in him now, and you live in expectant hope for the dead in Christ to rise at his final advent. Out of death, the Lord brings life. Out of Christ's death springs our life. The Lord brings down the proud and raises up those he has brought low. This little shoot from the stump of Jesse is the hope of the world. Jonathan Edwards once wrote, "As the sun, by the rising out of darkness and from under the earth, raises the whole world with him, raises mankind out of their beds, and by his light, as it were, renews all things and fetches them up out of darkness, so Christ, raising from the grave and from the state of death, he, as the first begotten from the dead, raises all his church with him. Christ the first fruits, and afterwards, they that are Christ's at his coming. And as all the world is enlightened and brought out of darkness by the rising of the sun, so by Christ's rising are we begotten again to a lively hope. And all our happiness and life and light and glory and the restitution of all things is from Christ rising from the dead and is by his resurrection." That is wonderful news for you and for me. For it means the kingdom of God is at hand. It means that Christ is now ruling and reigning. Though right now it may seem from all worldly appearances that this kingdom stands as only a small tree in the midst of a great forest or a small vine in a large vineyard, look, it's okay. The king, as you have heard, is the shoot that comes from the stump of Jesse. And in this shoot is your hope. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you come by our house today, you'll still see the place where that tree stood. The stump is still in the ground, but you'll notice something new, that this stump has put out some shoots. They're not tall, maybe 2 or 3 feet now, but they're hopeful little shoots. If you see those little shoots, I would pray that you would remember Christ, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, who is also the hope of the world. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in hope of Christ Jesus, his presence with us in his return. Amen.